Blog Talk Radio.
Every teenage fantasy
Michael Henderson with Valentine Love. That's from the Solid album, his first album, which came out in 1976 on Buddha Records. There was also another song on that album called Valentine Love that I'm going to play tonight. A lot of people think, a lot of people don't even know who Michael Henderson is and that he's a world-class bass player. Played with the likes of Marvin Gaye, Billy Preston, Stevie Wonder. But what really made him famous is he played with Miles Davis. He was he started playing with the Fantastic Four, the Detroit Emeralds, and Billy Preston and a whole bunch of other Motown acts in 1964. He was 13 years old. And then when he toured with Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin, one day he was with Stevie Wonder and Miles Davis saw him. And he looked at Stevie and said, "I'm going to take your bass player." And he played with Miles on some incredible records for 6 or 7 years. So this is a guy who's 19, 20 years old when he starts playing with Miles. Played on some incredible records. He did the Cellar Door Sessions. The tribute to Jack Johnson, the Cellar Door Sessions, was in 1970. He's 19 years old at the time. A tribute to Jack Johnson, 1971. He's 20 years old at the time. Miles Davis in Sweden, 1971. Hooray for Miles Davis, Volume 3, 1971. Live Evil, 1971. On the Corner, 1972. In Concert, Live at the Philharmonic, 1973. He played with Miles from 1970 to 1977, with Dark Magus being the last record. Yes, call in. I need to call in, J. King. It's going to be ugly, so tell me no. Nope, call in. Miles, well, I don't know what you're talking about. If it's going to be ugly, tell me. You can call in. See how ugly it get before I make it cute. So call in. Let me see. I do have a caller here from a first-time listener, 916-889. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
So, all right.
Hello?
Yes?
I said I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Okay.
How are you doing, Mr. King?
I'm fine. I'm wonderful. Thank you for tuning in. You wanted to say something, so I'm opening up the mic for you.
Not necessarily so much that I want to say something. I think that Arnie Snyder heard me talking yesterday, and she felt that I needed to share some things with a lot of people. So, and I've been wanting to for a long time, and I've kind of been in the shadows, and just I've always been a fan of yours. In fact, there's only two karaoke songs that I do. One is Kenny Rogers' The Gambler, and the other is Lean on Me by you guys.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
So, I can't really sing, but I have been told that I can rap pretty phenomenally. But that's not my intention or my goal, you know. Since I was 11, I've known that the Nobel Prize is my goal. So, but like I said, you've been a fan of mine, and being published. So that was another thing that Arnie Snyder and I were talking about was being published, and also about some of the artists and that you publish artists, and you know, like I said, rap, being a rapper, being famous, those aren't things that I necessarily want to do. I've been in the entertainment industry since 1987. If I wanted to be famous, I feel I probably could have, but it's not my intention or my goal. Like I said, the Nobel Prize is my goal. But I do have a lot of things that I want to say. So
okay, well, right now,
go ahead.
Yeah, today my show is on Michael Henderson. So just hang in there, hang out with me for a minute. I'm gonna come back to you from time to time and ask you about some music. Is that cool?
That's cool. You can even ask me about Michael Henderson.
Okay, I will. Hey, hang on right there. All right. So that's his first time listeners. I'm glad. Thank you, Arnie, for inviting people. You know, what's amazing about music, guys, is especially when you start talking about urban music and R&B music and soul music, there are so many of us that get left behind, so many of us that people forget about, you know, that made an indelible mark on the music scene, and that, you know, that were really sometimes bridge builders. And I believe Michael Henderson was one. Unfortunately, Michael Henderson came out during the time when you had Marvin Gaye, you had Al Green, you had Al Hutchinson, you had Barry White, you had Lou Rawls. And don't laugh at Lou Rawls, because the reason why Marvin Gaye never won a Grammy until Sexual Healing was because of Lou Rawls, because Lou Rawls always beat him in that category. But you had a bunch of singers, but he was no slouch. Michael Henderson had some great albums, from the Solid record to the Going Places album to In the Nighttime. And then, of course, you know, when he finally did the Wide Receiver record, which was his biggest hit, it really wasn't his greatest song to me. His great songs are the ones that we're going to talk about today. You know, one of his really great songs, Valentine Love, was done on Norman Conner's album. The album was called Saturday Night. And I believe it was called Saturday Night Special. And it featured Michael Henderson with Gene Karn. And that was his vocal debut. And it went to number 10 on the R&B charts. So he wrote other songs. You know, Be My Girl was also covered by the boys out of Detroit, the Dramatics, who also are very underrated groups. I might have to do them too. So tonight I'm going to play a little Michael Henderson music, give you some information on Michael Henderson. If you want to call in, 347-205-9366 is the call-in number. 347-205-9366. And this song I'm about to play now was one of my favorites. It was just, I just thought that Michael, when I first heard this record, I said, this is a cool record. So tell me what you guys think. I thought it was kind of fly what he did.
Get away, oh, surprise. sometimes brings you all the way down. Oh, 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 oh,
I hope to make it better real soon, real soon. And I'll show you that I will if you care.
This is when music had personality. It didn't just, you know, it wasn't just a, you know, just a verse, hook, little break. Music had a real personality. Songs had, you know, they didn't, you know, this song is 7 minutes and 33 seconds long because it could be. Because musically it did enough to be. And that's what made this music so incredible. And that's what made, to me, Michael Henderson such an incredible artist. You know, this is a guy who played with Stevie Wonder, who played with, you know, Miles Davis, Aretha Franklin, Marvin Gaye. He played with different artists, different styles. You know, you got to be a real heavy cat to play with Miles Davis. 678-793, who's calling?
This is your boy, Engine Knowledge. What's going on with you, kid?
Who's calling?
This is Into Knowledge.
Oh, Into Knowledge. What's happening, man?
Yeah, man. I'm always on the show, and I'm just loving what you're doing and living in the lap of luxury.
Right.
That's all
on,
I'm doing.
So are you familiar with Michael Henderson?
Oh, most definitely. But I got some other stuff for you. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be derogatory on the radio. But I wanted you to kick some of this Curtis Mayfield.
Okay, that's not what we're doing today. Now see, into knowledge is gonna get, see, now he gonna get into mute. You're going to get into the mute zone because we're talking about Michael Henderson. In case y'all didn't know, maybe I need to let everybody know right now. The show is called Underrated, and it's featuring Michael Henderson and the music of Michael Henderson. So if you're calling in, call in to talk about Michael Henderson, or don't call in to talk about Curtis Mayfield. Curtis Mayfield was never underrated. He was on. He got everything. Michael Henderson, on the other hand, and like you know, Andre McDonald, you know, in North Carolina said, you know, this is the first time he's hearing Michael Henderson. He's never heard of him, and I think that's what happens to a lot of our music. And because we have a voice now, because you can do this on radio, because I don't have to follow conventional radio standards. I can play anything I want to play. And I believe the reason why our music is so light now, the reason why you don't hear any heavy-duty music from our young musicians is because they don't study music. They don't listen to music. They didn't grow with music. This cat played with Miles Davis and Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin. So his musical prowess. And when I start telling you the kind of guys that played on this record, I'm going to tell you, what's interesting about these records, guys, this record came out in 1977. It was on Buddha Records. They released two singles from this album. One of them was called I Can't Help It, and it went to number 27 on R&B charts. And the other one was called Won't You Be Mine, and it went to number 82 on the R&B charts. But they were white guys that were picking the songs. These were the A&R guys. During this time, most A&R guys were white. So, you know, at the concert is what we picked. Going Places is what we picked. Let Me Love You is what we picked. Those were songs that were never singles. And this album was a gold album for him. Solid, Going Places, In the Nighttime, all were gold records for him. But sometimes we get lost in the sauce because people that are picking our music, people that are picking the music that's supposed to be hot to us, aren't always us. Let me see if this is the person that's going to talk about Michael Henderson now. 619-794. Who's calling?
Palms Lights, how you doing tonight?
Who's calling?
Palms Lights.
How you doing, Palms Lights?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I happened to catch your web information, and I was just calling it. I knew Michael Henderson pretty well back at that time, during the 70s and early 80s. And Michael was a great musician, a great person. Very talented, one of the most talented guys I knew. He taught me a lot about music, and I was just wondering what happened to Michael. Where is Michael at, and what is he doing now? Is he still performing or what?
Michael is starting to perform again. He's in Atlanta. He was going to be on the show tonight, but he is in the studio. So we spoke earlier.
Okay.
And, you know, I saw him a few months ago in here in L.A., but he's starting to work on a new record. You know, and oddly enough, you know, you would think that somebody with the records, because I'm going to play a bunch of music tonight, and you would think somebody with these kind of hits could go out and tour, right?
Exactly.
But Michael Henderson is having a hard time working, number one, because as a listening community, black folks, we just move on to the next thing that come out. You know, it's not a lot of loyalty when it comes to black listeners and music sometimes, you know, especially today, these kids, because of the way music is so, you know, so fast moving. But, you know, unfortunately for Michael, you know, Michael was, as you know, he was primarily a studio musician when he came to making these records. You know, he didn't tour a whole lot. He did do some touring, but he didn't do a bunch of extensive touring because he was an in-demand studio musician and songwriter. And because of that, unfortunately, there's not a real big demand for him because people don't know him. But I think if Michael was put in the right position, you know, on the right shows, that people would be pleasantly surprised. He sounded great. He looked great. And like I said, he's in Atlanta today working on a new record.
Well, that's good to hear, man. I know the last time I saw Michael was like, I think like 93, because he was actually working with me on a couple of songs to record for one of my projects. Great songwriter, great guy, man. It's just really sad. I totally agree. He's a fantastic musician, man, and a fantastic person. So that's very surprising to hear.
Now, did
but
you
I
work
like
with him
doing.
On any? Well, thank you. Did you work with him on any of these records?
No. I was doing my own solo thing. I lived in Chicago at the time when I was growing up as a kid, and I had a lot of friends in the music business, and I became friends with Michael. And whenever he was in Chicago, he'd invite me down, and Michael always had a bass guitar with every outfit whenever he performed. Whatever show he was doing, he always had a matching bass guitar to go with it. That's one of the things I loved about his flair and his style and his sound. And it was just really great, man. So it's really great that you're doing something to commemorate him.
I'm doing a whole series. And I'm gonna get the Daz Band, I think, is another underrated group. I'm gonna get Switch, I think, is another underrated group. And we're just gonna go and get some of these groups that I think were underrated, never really got their due, never got, you know, they had records, but you know, but they've always fought for respect. I want you to stay on. Now, am I saying it right? Palms.
Palms, yeah, Lights.
Palms Lights. Okay, so Palms. Can I put you on mute and keep you on my show because I want to be able to ask you questions.
Sure, no problem at all.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you, sir. All right, you guys, so let me give you guys a little information on this album. Let me tell you some of the, first of all, music at this time was so segregated. It was really segregated. If you were on the Billboard album charts, you weren't on the R&B charts, you were on the Billboard top soul albums, and you were on the Billboard pop albums, and you were on the Billboard top jazz albums. And Michael Henderson was so well-respected as a musician that, you know, he that's where his music lived, on different charts. So on this particular album that, you know, with at the concert, he was so respected in what he was doing with some of the jazz movements that he was doing in R&B, and you're going to hear it in some of the music I play for you guys. The album was number 11 on the top jazz charts. It went to number 18 on the pop soul album charts. And this was the peak position, meaning that this is where it stopped at. And it went to number 49 on the pop charts. And they picked all the wrong singles. So just imagine had they picked all the right singles. This is how far we've come, people, that, you know, in 1976, 77, to find a black A&R guy that had the power to sign, the power to pick songs, the power for movement, it was like finding a needle in a haystack. But let me tell you some of the personnel, some of the people that worked on this record. Michael Henderson, lead and backing vocals, bass, bongos, guitar, and keyboards. Herbie Hancock, Fender Rhodes. Ray Parker Jr., Randall Jacobs, guitar. Jerry Jones, drums. Mark Johnson, clapping, Fender Rhodes, hand clapping, synthesizer. Rudy Robinson, arp strings, clapping, clavinet, Fender Rhodes, guitar, piano. Ollie Brown, Lorenzo Brown, percussion. Eli Fontaine, Marcus Belgrove, Norma Jean Bell, horns. Ralph Moss, horns and strings. Rod Lupkin, organ. So that funky organ you heard, Dre, that was Rod Lupkin. Eli Fontaine, soprano saxophone. Steve Hunter, trombone. Barbara Shelley, Wesley Gullick, clapping, hand clapping. Gwen Guthrie, Yolanda McCullough, Brenda White, backing vocals. So that's the personnel that was on this record. And so Andre said, why do you think they picked the wrong singles? Do you think it was because of white A&R's lack of knowledge toward soul music? Absolutely. Absolutely. They, you know, it's always been that way. And a lot of these groups suffered because of it. So another song off of this album was a song called Let Me Love You. And I think the song is sexy, it's funky, it's cool, it's jazzy. And what I love about music from this era, and what I love about Michael's music is how much personality the music had. The music had so much personality from the very note, first note.
Thank you.
So funky. I don't know if you guys could hear the underbass, the little biting underbass he had under there. It was like gritty. So what I loved about Michael's music was that it was really a mixture of a lot of different styles of music. You could hear, you know, even when he just did the little bass, it was a jazzy bass kind of breakout. That was the breathe. He just let it breathe with the bass. He just had a real funky but jazzy but pop and R&B feel. It was just really a mixture of music, and it could have worked on a lot of different, you know, in a lot of different genres. And that's why, he's a top 50 record of an album from the pop chart to the jazz charts. And, you know, even with the wrong singles being picked, the music was so strong. And this is why record stores were so important to artists, and this is where we lose it without having record stores, because record stores would tell you what was hot. Record stores would say, you know, we just got the new Michael Henderson in. The guy working behind the counter, the manager, whoever the guy was, and say, man, this is one I think you should check out. So we don't have that anymore. So it's hard to discover music, and we have so much going on with the internet and with digital downloads and with YouTube and all kinds of things. You know, it's hard. It's hard to find new music, but I promise you, if you take the time to do it, it's worth every bit of it. And so for you youngsters who haven't heard a lot of this music, you guys need to go back. And with somebody like a Michael Henderson, what you need to do is you need to just go back and buy everything you can. Go on iTunes and buy everything you can buy Michael Henderson and start listening to music. And your ability to write songs, your ability to write lyrics, your ability to write melodies, your ability to understand that music doesn't have to be in one particular space, it'll grow. So Palms, now, when you knew Mike, was he in the middle of this stuff? Is this the kind of stuff, or was it after, because he really had three. I mean, I think the great years for him was from like 1976 to 1980.
Yeah, I think so. During that time, the Michael that I knew and what I was listening to when I was growing up. With him, with his music, from Valentine Love to End of Nighttime, The Summertime, Starship, all of those songs, man, it inspired me all my life to this day. I was just downloading some Michael Henderson earlier today, and I came across, like I said, your advertisement on the web, and I was like, you know, this is really good, you know, what you're doing, because that's exactly what you said, what we need. We need real artistry, you know, and Michael was definitely one of the greatest. You know, I mean, he was always sold out. Every time I saw the man, he was sold out. I mean, everybody loved him. That's why it's really shocking to hear that. I had no idea that he was not out there like that, you know, in today's
time. I mean, when was the last time you've heard of a Michael Henderson concert?
Oh, man. Years. Like I said, the last time I saw Michael was like 90, I think like 94, and he was living in California. We were in the San Fernando Valley, and we had, you know, hooked back up, and he said he was doing some new things, and he had wrote two songs for my brother and myself, And we were working on those tracks, and all of a sudden, he just faded. I don't know what happened to him. He just went ghost, you know. But I knew he would be back, but here we are, like, years later, and I still haven't heard anything on him. I've been trying to find him.
Now, one thing I noticed as I'm looking at some of his albums, you know, the songs I just played was from the Gone Places album, which was the second album. The first album Michael started with was in 1976. It was called Solid, and I played.
Solid.
I started, yeah, and I started the show off with Valentine Love, which is where Solid, you know, it started on that. That's what started off the Solid album. Actually, let me take that back. It did not start off the Solid album. It started off my show. It never was a single from the Solid album. Valentine Love was never a single from the Solid album. And this is a time, guys, when a record company would generally release one or two singles from an album, and that would be it. And then the album would have to, you know, sell the single would sell the album. They wouldn't, and that's what they did with black groups. They would just release one or two singles. It wasn't until the 80s that record companies started releasing multiple singles. So this particular record, you know, so Be My Girl was the single from this record. Do you know Be My Girl went to on the chart?
Yeah.
Do you know?
A great song.
Do you know where it went to? Do you know where it landed on the charts?
No, not exactly. I can't say I do right offhand.
No, and when I tell you, you're gonna be surprised.
Okay.
Number 23.
Wow.
Be My Girl.
And that song was recorded twice, I believe. I think did the Dramatics do it or something like that.
Dramatics did it. Of course they did. Yes.
Yeah.
And Be My Girl went to number.
Michael's version was way better.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say that. They were both great versions. He had another single from this album. It was called You Haven't Made It to the Top. And this particular album, went to number 10 on the soul album charts, number 20 on the jazz charts, and then number 173 on the pop charts. So this was his first album, and it was a top 10 soul album, a top 20 jazz album, and a top 200 Billboard pop album. And you know, then the second album, which is what I played the songs from, which was Solid, it came in at number 11 on the jazz charts, number 18 on the soul charts, number 49. So even though it did better on the jazz charts and on the pop charts, it didn't do as well on the R&B charts as the first album. But it was still a solid album. It garnered some great songs, and this song right here was a top 25 single, and I think this should have been today this is a top 5 song.
You don't need to. You don't need of the same love. You don't need. desperate way. All the girls I meet, they're so full of play. It's not even a bother if I forgot their name. They don't mind. In the minute I first saw you, every teenage fantasy came true. But you looked the other way, and my walking for the day broke my spirit. Got me dreaming. I can't turn without you being there. Stop this mistreating me. I wanna say, let me lay on and be your man.
Another cool thing about music from this era is that you could, you know, you could put on a song, and whatever you wanted to say to the girl, you know, you could say it through whoever the singer was, you know. So if you wanted to, you know, if you wanted the girl, you know, you could dedicate the song to her, or you could make her a cassette with a bunch of songs on it, you know, and you could start it off with "Be My Girl." You know, she would kind of know what you was talking about because the music would talk for you. You know, the lyric would talk for you. It spoke, and it spoke in a way that was going to represent you and you know, the way you wanted it to represent you. You know, nothing foul was going to come out of this. So this album came out, again, like I said, this album came out in 1976. And I'm going to tell you guys who played on this record. Michael Henderson, of course, did the lead and backing vocals. He played guitar, drums, and bass on this. Bruce Nazarene played guitar and synthesizer. Jerry Jones and Leslie Daniels played drums. Lester Williams, Nimrod Lumpkin, Rudy Robinson played keyboards. Ralph Armstrong played guitar. Mark Johnson on synthesizer. Marugo Booker played percussions. Eli Fontaine, Marcus Belgrave, Norma Jean Bell played horns. Rudy Robertson, Travis Big on strings, and Brandy and Rose Williams did the backing vocals. So, you know, from album to album, the one person I hear on this record from the last record was Eli Fontaine. And I don't know if I know any other names from this record. Now, what was cool about listening to records during this era also was reading the credits, who did what, you know, what their contribution was on which tune. And, you know, and you could hear, you knew Michael Henderson was really the big part of the sound, that it was really him as the producer making the sound happen, because he could take different players and still create his sound and get what he was getting, what he wanted to get out of it. So the first album that he did was the Solid album, which had Be My Girl and Valentine Love on it, and then Solid, which was a good song. And then the rest of the stuff was cool. You know, he had some really nice songs, so it was a good album. And then he came with the Going Places album, and the Going Places album, Ralph Moss also was on it, and Rod Lufkin played on this one, but his brother played on the first record, so that's interesting. This record had At the Concert, which I played, and it also had Let Me Love You, and the Going Places album, and there was another song on here titled Going Places, which I really thought was cool, and I'm going to play the Going Places record, and then we're going to get into the next part of Michael Henderson's record, and then I'm going to get into some information about Michael Henderson, where he was born and stuff like that, so you guys can get some really cool information on him. This is Michael Henderson's Going Places.
Baby, get off your, I'll get the facts and what you've been waving.
what I loved about Michael was his ability to go to his falsetto. He wasn't afraid of it. And his music took a lot of different turns, and you could hear the influence of jazz, funk, R&B. You could hear it all. And I love that about him. And but before we go any further, I'm going to take a real quick station ID, and we're going to come right back.
Network, where the people come together. The Day King Network, where the people come together. The Day King Network, where the people come together. The people come together. The Day King Network, where the people come together.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jay King. This is The Music Business, The Way I See It. Tonight, our show is called Underrated. It's a series that I'm going to do on different artists that I think didn't get the real just rewards for the kind of contributions they've made to the music scene and to the music business. And, I mean, I still think they have a rich legacy. The music is still alive. It's still wonderful. There's something fresh about Michael's music even right now. And I'm hoping that this show will awaken some of your musical thoughts and, you know, and maybe get you to explore more and get you to share more, you know, more music. And, you know, if you listen to music as a youngster that you probably passed up, maybe wake you up and make you go back and explore that music and why it was so good to you then, and see if it still moves you today. Michael Henderson was born in Yazoo City, Mississippi, July 7th, 1951. And the reason why we thought that Michael Henderson was so old as a young person, because he started playing at 13, 14 years old in Motown. You know, he's best known for playing with Miles Davis in the early 70s. You know, he played on the early Fusion albums, A Tribute to Jack Johnson, Pangea, and Live Evo with Miles. He's one of the first notable bass guitarists of the Fusion era, as well as being one of the most influential jazz and soul musicians in the past 40 years. In addition to playing with Miles Davis, he's played and recorded with Marvin Gaye, Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, The Dramatics, Dr. John, and a lot of other people. He's considered to be one of the three greatest Motown bass guitarists, along with Bob Babbitt and his primary influence, which is James Jamerson. And if anybody knows music, you've heard James Jamerson, who's another great unsung musician that you know, we just didn't get enough of before he passed. Before working with Miles Davis, Michael Henderson toured with Stevie Wonder. He met Stevie Wonder at the Regal Theater in Chicago while he was warming up for a gig. Miles Davis saw Henderson as a young man performing at the Copacabana in New York in the early 70s, and he looked at Stevie Wonder and just said, "I'm taking your bass player." So he played with Miles Davis for 7 years, and then he focused on songwriting and doing his solo career. He produced a lot of hit songs and albums for Arista. He retired back in 1986. And, you know, and then he started coming back out again. His most notable song is Wide Receiver, which we're going to get to. But before we go to Wide Receiver, this is the album that this was my favorite Michael Henderson album. And it's called In the Nighttime. And I remember the first time I heard the song in the nighttime. It was cool and mellow, but funky at the same time. I hadn't heard a lot of music like this, but I noticed that, and this is what made me go back and find Michael Henderson as a youngster and really get into him and listen to his music. So Michael Henderson, 1976, just to give you guys some history, 1976 is when Marvin Gaye did the I Want You album. So this is the kind of music that this guy is up against. In 1978, Marvin Gaye did an album called Here, My Dear. And in 1978, Here, My Dear was laughed at. Yeah. Nobody believed in Here, My Dear until it was a hit. And believe it or not, this is a song, this is an album that people didn't believe in for Michael Henderson. They thought that this was it. But to me, this was his best album. So, In the Nighttime.
I don't mind the daytime.
The way he put the bass out front there, and he let that bass be funky, but he gave you a cold groove. Funny, just seems kind of funny every time it's sunny. I love the way he just kind of let the almost like a little country draw. So this was his third album, and this was, I think, you know, he had a little lull in between, but this record, the only thing that came off of this album was In the Nighttime. And then he had Take Me, I'm Yours, which was another brilliant cut from this record. So what's cool about this album is that On all of Michael's records, he had a solid songs, and he always had two really great, what I thought were great singles. And what surprises me is how they weren't big hits on the charts. You know, in the Nighttime, let me give you guys some of the chart positions. It went to number 15 on the R&B charts. And Take Me, I'm Yours went to number 82 on the R&B charts. But it went to number 88 on the singles, on the pop charts, and number 3 on the dance charts. And that just lets you know how much the dance charts influenced the pop charts. So he had a number 3 song on the dance charts, probably because of the clubs and, you know, 1978, they probably did the little disco dance, you know, where they the hand dances that they were doing back then. Now, this is his biggest album yet. Okay? It goes to number 6 on the jazz charts, number 5 on the soul charts, and number 38 on the pop charts. And let me tell you who he had playing with him on this record. Michael Henderson, of course. He's doing lead and background vocals. He's playing bass, doing hand claps, guitar, and keyboards. Ray Parker Jr., Randall Jacobs on guitar. Herman Curry Jr. on bass and hand claps, Jerry Jones, Keith Benson on drums, Mark Johnson, Rod Lupkin on organ and clavinet, and that's that sound that he used to get with Rob playing with him, Rudy Robinson, Gary Krista on keyboards and synthesizer. Rudy is one of his mainstays, Keith Benson, Lorenzo Bag of Tricks Brown on percussion. Lorenzo played on the record before this too. He also played on the Going Places album, so that was, he was a carryover from there. Eli Fontaine on saxophone. Eli played on all his records. Evan Solid on trumpet. Cheryl Norton. You guys don't know who Cheryl Norton is, do you? Cheryl Norton and Raina Scott on vocals. Now let me tell you who Cheryl Norton is. She's a girl named Sherelle. That's right, Sherelle. Who sang with Alexander O'Neill. Her real name is Cheryl Norton. She was on this record doing vocals. And then Barbara Ingram, Yvette Benton, Paula Benson on backing vocals. Andre McDonald in the chat room said, maybe because he was so innovative and creative and kind of ahead of his time that the A&Rs didn't know what to do with him, but they didn't want to admit that. Because if they did, they would have not had been able to control him. Back then, I'm sorry, you know, A&R controlled everything. Record companies controlled everything. Artists did not have any real power. It wasn't until the '80s that artists, you know, that R&B artists. Well, late 70s that I think most of the R&B artists really started being able to fight for and have some control. Palms, am I doing good so far?
Yeah, Jay, you are, man. I was just, Jay, are you Jay King from the PDA?
Uh-huh.
Jay, you don't remember
me? I don't know. You gotta.
Remember when I first walked into the PDA, you said that it could have been Rick James' son? Palms Lights.
Oh, my God, that's that Palms?
Yeah.
Of course, Palms, I remember you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, bro. I thought that was you.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
So, Palms, you know, aside from doing, and just so for those of you who don't know, the PDA is the Professional Domino Association. You guys know, you know, I'm a professional domino player. But, you know, but Palms, I also sing in Club Nouveau.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, so I do the music thing also. And,
exactly.
So this is my
side. Yeah, you're doing great, Jay. Yeah, you know your facts, brother. Yeah, you're doing very well, man.
Now I'm going to tell y'all something. Now, Palms could be Rick James right now. Palms, if you sound anything like Rick James, if you do, I'm going to put you with Val Young.
I know,
because
Val.
You need to see, you and Val need to be talking. You need to be on a Rick James review, because this boy looks so much like Rick James. Y'all would think Rick James came back younger.
I told you I want to play him. I could definitely do it. I knew him well enough to do it.
Yeah, but can you sing?
Yeah, I can sing, Jay. I'm still
okay,
doing music.
Okay, I mean, are you doing? I'm talking about, can you sing Rick James? I know you can sing.
I've never tried to sing Rick's music, but I'm sure I could do it if I'm acting, because I act too. I could do it.
Yeah, if I was you, I would get with the Stone City Band,
mm-hmm.
and go out and do it.
Well, I
just took your number, Palms. I'm serious. We're gonna talk after this show.
Okay. For sure, man.
Okay.
But, yeah, I love the show, man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. Now, you know, you know, in 1979, Michael Henderson had an album called Do It All. And I think this is where the ship kind of sunk for him. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, when you are a black group and, you know, they don't give you a whole bunch of chances. And so when, you know, when they ride you until the wheels can fall off, and then they'll move on. But before I do that, let me see. Did I play Let Me Love You? No, let me see. Okay. That's the Going Places. Am I at Going Places? Yes. I just played, I'm at In the Nighttime. That's where I am. I'm in the Nighttime. I don't want to get ahead of myself, Palm.
Okay.
Let me see. In the Nighttime. I want to do, we're going to go to the next, I got to do this record, Palms, and then I'm going to open you back up. We're going to talk again. Palms, I'll make sure you're not talking anyway. But, so from the Going Places, I mean, from the In the Nighttime album, this was Michael's last big record for a while, okay, until Wide Receiver. But this, you got to remember this record.
Just drive me wild. I'm quite leaving, but I'm
That's now that's the only record he had that made it to the dance charts, and it went to number three. It was a top five dance record for him, and you could hear why. It's 1978. It had the little disco kind of flair to it, but still with the funk and still with the jazz. So he really did his own thing. If you are not listening to this saying, I need to go buy some Michael Henderson records right now, I need to go download some music, you don't know music. You don't love music. This music is, this stuff moves you. Now, I was telling you guys that the next record after the, you know, and you guys got to know, these guys, they had to make records back to back. So here he's made a record in 76, 77, 78, 79. You know, that's why record companies did seven album deals, because they felt like your first two or three albums weren't going to be big records anyway, but they were going to help you develop an audience, and in records four through seven would be hits, and you know, and you would probably get a gold or platinum record, and then they would redo another deal with you, and it worked. But today, because kids don't make these records fast enough, they make a record in three or four years before they make another record. You know, they just didn't work the way these guys worked. And so in 1979, you know, the Do It All album. So Michael Henderson's first three albums did what normally wouldn't happen, which is your first three albums were the building albums, and then your next four albums were the hits. Well, he had three hit albums in a row. And then he made the Do It All album. And for this album, he used a lot of the same personnel. And you guys are going to be tripping on who played on these records and stuff just when I start talking about them. But he had two singles. One was called Do It All, and the other one was called To Be Loved, which was written by Berry Gordy years before. But this record did what none of the other records did, and that is it failed to chart on the jazz charts. It only charted on the soul charts at number 17 and on the pop charts at 64. And I'm going to play you two singles from this album, the two singles, Do It All and The Be Loved, and then we're going to come back and talk about this before we get into the next part of Michael Henderson.
Yeah.
Now, you could hear the influence of disco in the music, but this is 1979. This is disco at its height, and you could hear the disco seeping in, and you know, and what made Michael so cool in the beginning was his blend of jazz and funk and R&B and pop. And then you're starting to hear that sound go out, and to me, you know, the freshness of the record. And you could hear the influence of Chic and what he was doing with the bass and the guitar breakdown. This is Chic's Good Times and, you know, Les Freak and all of the yowza. All those records were huge for, and Chic really ushered in the disco sound for an R&B band. They were the preeminent R&B disco band. So this is where, to me, this is where, you know, sometimes we don't stay true to our roots. At this time, Marvin Gaye has the Hear My Dear album, and everybody's just destroying this record, talking about how bad of a record it is. This is one of Marvin Gaye's most cherished records today, because it was a brilliant piece of work. Because, you know, when disco was happening, Marvin Gaye was saying, "When did you stop loving me? When did I stop loving you?" And when, you know, and disco was making artists like Michael Henderson have to rethink himself. And this record was probably the more different than the rest of the records. I'm going to tell you guys who played on this record again. You know, he didn't have a record. Do It All went to number 56 on the R&B charts. Okay? So disco wasn't winning for him. Michael Henderson did lead and background vocals and played bass. Randall Jacobs played guitar. Bobby Franklin, Corey Heath, Keith Benson, Ollie Brown played drums. Rudy Robertson, David Lee played keyboards and synthesizer. Anthony Jones, Jimmy Williams played percussions. DJ Vassal Benford played the clavinet. Vassal Benford grew up to be a very well-known producer with during the MCA days, doing a lot of remixes with Lil Silas, who was a very famous A&R guy in the 80s and 90s, who passed away a few years back. Evan Solid on trumpet, Eli Fontaine on saxophone, Little Sonny on harmonica, Barbara Ingram, Yvette Benton, and Paula Benson on backgrounds. So, you know, he kept a lot of his crew together that made his other records, but he really changed his sound. And I'm going to play you the other single. And you notice only two singles come off of each of these records. And if you notice, he never has any super big records. He has a top 10 record on the R&B charts, but he has big albums, because that's what record companies did. They released a single to sell the album, maybe two singles. It wasn't until the 80s that the single became the driving force where a record company would release three, four, or five singles. So what other record came off of here? Do It All and To Be Loved. Is To Be Loved? No, I don't have To Be Loved. Okay, so I don't have To Be Loved. I don't have it. Let me see what else I have from this album. Do It All, In the Summertime, Waiting to the Rain, Riding, To Be Loved, Everybody Wants to Know, Playing on. No, I don't have anything else. I'm sorry. All right, so we go from that album to the Slingshot album. Let me see. Is Slingshot before? No, we go to the Wide Receiver album. So what happens is this. He misses with the Do It All album. And it looks like it's over with for Michael Henderson, until he comes back with this record. And when he comes back with this record, his whole world explodes.
And you say you're the first. Thank you.
Michael Henderson's last big record, you know, he just kind of went into the abyss, but his record's always being sampled. I helped Michael in a situation a few years back in the 90s, and I helped him in a publishing situation, and that's how we became friends. And I got him a lot of money. Didn't take a dime from him because I was just honored to help him, and we became friends, and we've been friends ever since then. So I believe this is Derek Allen. Derek, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Jay?
What's happening, man? I've been playing all Michael Henderson tonight.
Man, you know, I missed the majority of it, man, but I wanted to call and chime in and catch some of it, man. And I came in on wide receiver. That was definitely my jam right there.
Now, did you listen to early Michael Henderson? Did he have any influence over you as a bass player?
You know what? I really didn't appreciate Michael Henderson until I got older. You know, when I was younger, I was more into more of the flamboyant bass players, like, you know, like Bootsy and you know, Graham and James Jamerson, you know, guys like that, and Stanley Clark. So when I got older, I always was a fan of wide receiver. And you know, wide receiver was funky, but, you know, it kind of was driven by, you know, bass synth. But it was still a funky song. So, but, you know, as I became, you know, more of an adult, I went back and did some of my research on Michael and tried to listen to some of the older records, man. And he was definitely, man, and still is, man, just a genius, man. You know, I really have a lot of appreciation for Michael as a musician because, you know, he played everything. And then, you know, I did know that he was one of the session players that toured with so many people. And,
yeah,
you know, when it came to that, I knew that I wanted to be that type of musician, a guy that hopefully someday to get to do, you know, tours and play with different artists, man. And he was like one of the greatest, you know, at it, you know, as a bass player, you know. So
well,
I think
you know,
I admired
that part. What was interesting about him is when I hear him, I hear you sometimes. Because a lot of your songs are driven by the bass. That you,
yeah,
they're still like you got this beautiful thing happening, but you still got a funky bass going on. And if you listen to a lot of if you listen to a lot of his, even his ballads, like, you know, at the concert, you know,
at the concert,
Be My Girl, Valentine's
Play
Love.
That one already?
Yeah, I played it. I'll play it again for you.
Okay.
At the concert was so funky, but you know, playing with Miles, you could hear how Miles even stretched him out, because he had jazz and, you know, and funk and R&B. He had all that stuff kind of enveloped in one. And I know you are influenced by Jamerson, and so is he.
Definitely
heavy influence.
Definitely.
Jamerson on him. Don't go anywhere. I'm gonna put a Minty here. Then I'm gonna get the 678. And we'll come back to you, Derek. Minty, how you doing, baby?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jay King. I want to tell you that, like, I'm out of state for vacation. And,
okay.
Minty,
you sound like Aqua Boogie right now, baby. So you got to start all over again. What'd you say now?
I said I'm out of state for vacation. I wanted to reach you. Then, I'd have your number and stuff on you to you privately. So that's the way I could reach you right now to speak to you about Saturday.
Okay, I still didn't hear what you said, but what I'm going to do is I think you need my number. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know why you can't hear me, but, yeah, I have to speak to you.
Because your phone
is
doing underwater boogie, like you Aqua Boogie or somebody.
Oh,
Aqua Boogie,
goodness.
Baby. Yeah, can you see that? You see the number I just gave you?
Yeah, can I call you after the show or when you want me to give you a call?
Yeah, you call
morning?
Me after the show. Call me after the show.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. So I got that. She got Aqua Boogie. Let me see. 678-887. Please state your name, where you're from, question, statement. Hello? 678-887. All right. Evidently, you don't want to say nothing. So I'm putting you back on mute. Somebody who didn't want to say something, they just pushed on. All right. So, so Derek, did you like in the nighttime?
What was that? A second project or third project? I can't remember.
Nighttime was the third album.
I definitely remember that cut. Yeah, I remember that cut, man. One thing about him, yeah, because he's singing that low baritone, kind of funky low baritone. Yeah, he had such a cold tone, man, in his vocal. You know, he had a low funky sweet croon baritone that I was really into from listening to his records, man. And he did some great production, man. You're right, his production was real musical. It definitely had a jazz influence, and then I heard a little Marvin Gaye too. You know what I'm saying? I heard
absolutely.
Marvin,
did you hear the Marvin in him?
Yep, you hear the Marvin in him, just a great musician, man. You know, and I'm glad you're doing the show on him because he is definitely one of those, you know, underrated guys, man. That just never really got his shine, man. Never really got his just due.
Now you said that you didn't discover him until you were older, an adult. How old would you say?
You know, it's probably, I really got heavy off into him probably in the, I would say the late 80s, maybe like early 90s. I've always known of him, you know, from Wide Receiver. That was, you know, the joint that stood out. And then growing up, like I said, I admired him as one of the touring musicians, man, because I used to, you know, read album credits and stuff like that. So I used to see his name on a lot of records. And then the 80s, growing up, I used to see, you know, read like, you know, Paul Jackson Jr., Michael Cimbello, you know, Ray Fuller. I used to see all these guys' names on albums. And I knew that was what I wanted to do. But when I got like a little older, maybe in the 90s, man, I started to go back and do my vocabulary on Michael Henderson and just really discover that not only he was a great, you know, bass player and touring musician, but man, the dude, his productions, this was incredible. He wrote incredible songs, man. You know.
What I loved about him was the music was so fresh. Even now, if you listen to it, like, you know, even like at the concert, it's just really fresh.
Yeah.
I just, before we play that, did you hear the horns, how he got the, like the big horn, the, like you could tell he played with a jazz band with it.
Exactly.
You know, just so, and you know, just how it's funky, jazzy, and bluesy all at the same time, but the way he goes into this thing, watch.
Hey Jay, wait a minute. Hey, who's playing B3, man? Who's playing B3?
That is.
Oh my gosh!
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy?
Oh, man.
That's Rod. That's Rod Lupkin, and Eli Fontaine is on the saxophone.
Oh man.
And Herbie Hancock is on the Fender Rhodes.
Oh well, there you go. Okay.
And Ray Parker Jr.
Joint
on
was
guitar.
Funky, man.
That, and Ray
that
Parker
joint
Jr.
Was
on
funky.
Yeah.
Wow, that's one of them summer madness. That's one of them summer madness joints that just never really got to just do, man. That joint was so cold.
Now think about this though, Derek. This is a vocal song, okay? We're 1 minute and 20 seconds into the intro of the song before he sings one note.
Wow.
The song is 7 minutes and 33 seconds long.
Wow.
Now watch his first note. Watch his first note. A horn line.
Wow.
I feel that's a bass trombone or a tuba or something.
Yeah, that's a baritone, man.
That's his first note. You know what I mean? The music had so much personality.
Yeah.
What happened to the personality in the music?
Man, I don't know, man. You try that right now. You try to cut a record and the vocal don't start till a minute or so in. They gonna shut it off real quick.
You know, I think what happened is we got so formulated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know we got so radio friendly.
Yeah.
It's like people that say, you know, people are politically correct.
Yeah.
And being politically correct means that you have to compromise yourself. You have to compromise what you really feel, what you really think, because you got to do what's politically correct. And I think that's what's happened in music. We become we become so correct in how a song, you know, radio friendly to me is the same as politically correct. And I think today a record like this would live and crush. Joe Levy is calling in. How you doing, Joe Levy?
I'm good, Brother Jay King and Brother Derek D.O.A. Allen. I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed the show, listening to Michael Henderson music. He's fantastic. And also to congratulate the number one producer in the United States of America, Mr. Derek D.O.A. Allen, on his fantastic accomplishment of number one record with Joe Thomas. Brother, you know,
thank
I love you,
man.
And I just think you're the greatest, man. And now everybody knows that, you know, what I know and what everybody else knows.
I appreciate
I think everybody here on the Jay King Network know.
Absolutely.
We some DOA
thank
fans
you,
over here. So, yeah, and congratulations. You guys know the artist Joe. Joe Thomas is his real name, but you guys know him as Joe. He entered the R&B charts, the Billboard R&B charts at number one, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. That's correct.
And number six on the pop charts, which is incredible, you know, to enter at such a high number. And Derek Allen, in case you guys don't know, Derek D.O.A. Allen also produced the Karen White Carpe Diem album and the Lenny Williams Steel album. Is that the name of this new album? Was
that's
what?
The name.
Yeah.
Steel.
And
yeah.
Then and Joe Levy, a guy named Joe. CD, so he's been all over the place. And then, of course, he worked with Dave Rapace, the late, great Dave Rapace,
yeah,
on the A Portrait of D-Man album.
Yeah.
So he's been all over the place, so congratulations. And
thanks, Jay.
On that. And we're almost out of time, Joe. So if we got 2 minutes left, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I want you guys, you know, I do these shows to educate and to inform and just to share with people. And this today was a sharing night. We're going to do a show called, you know, for the next few weeks, I'm going to do underrated. I'm going to get some of the most underrated artists that I think that are still around. Some of them may not be around, but they're still very underrated. Leon Ware is going to be my next guy. You guys are going to be surprised at who Leon Ware is and what he's done. But he'll be the next person I do on Monday on Underrated. We're going to listen to a little bit more of Michael Henderson, then we're going to get out of here. But I think this boy, this right here, this record right here. Michael Henderson. Find him on iTunes. You can find him at Amazon.com. Michael Henderson, any record you can find on him, you get it. It won't be a lost cause. My name is Jay King. This is the music business, the way I see it, on the Jay King Network. Don't forget to tune in to Kings in the Morning tomorrow morning, 8 to 10 a.m., with myself, Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, and Johnny Graham Cracker Davis. Good night, everybody.
Network, where the people come together. The Jay King Network, where the people come together.
The Jay King Network, where the people come together.
The people come together.
The Jay King Network, where the people come together.